Quitters never give up.
You got these?
Right. Have you ever had a dream?
Because I didn't give up, B.
Wait, you just gave the answer.
Quitters never give up.
Quitters never give up. Are the words that came out of his mouth.
Scott Walken, it's up to about
that. Embarrassed or humiliated or ashamed, he was proud of himself.
Don't tell me the American dream.
I'm not so lucky that my mind drifted
as well. Richer for
don't tell me the American dream is dead.
Welcome to Quitters Never Give Up, the podcast that is all things Kevin and Bean in the creative universe. Welcome, everybody.
Hey.
Hey, guys.
What a dude, nephew.
So this is a clip that needs no introduction.
It's one of the greatest injustices ever perpetrated in Hollywood. Cheetah the Chimp is not on the Walk of Fame.
What?
Well, it's hard out here for a chimp. You know this, that, Kevin. Come on. Dear God. This is a 76-year-old chimp that was that starred in Tarzan, apparently. Uh-huh. And people are very upset that he does not have a star on the Walk of Fame.
He's a Hollywood superstar, a legend, a famed success story who's worked with such greats as Dorothy L'Amour, Ronald Reagan, and of course, Tarzan and Jane. But despite that million-dollar grin and that list of credits a mile long, this seasoned veteran gets no respect.
I detect there's some mocking going on, Kevin, in your voice. He is the most famous chimp that ever lived.
Yes. Yeah. But these people aren't serious, right? I mean, no one's serious about this.
But he's a chimp. He'll never know the difference.
Let's find out, because we asked producer Alex to line up somebody to talk about Get Cheetah the Chimp, a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and we have them on the phone right now. Good morning.
Good morning. Who's this?
Kevin and Bean from K-Rock.
Hey, how you fellas doing?
Good. Are you the guy that's behind trying to get this chimp a star on the Walk of Fame?
Behind the chimp? I am the chimp. This is Cheetah.
What?
You're talking to Cheetah.
You speak English?
Do I ever? Well, you know, mostly I speak English. Sometimes I speak chimp. Blah, 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 blah.
Forgive us.
That's what you kids like to hear.
Well, that's what we usually hear.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's what you're hearing now, then. Look at me. I'm a funny monkey.
But we're just a little bit surprised because we knew that you had a long film history, but
yes.
We've never heard you speak before. We didn't know you could actually speak English.
Well, I never had reason to before.
This is the first time you've spoken?
Yeah.
All right.
Because usually they just bring me the food and I eat it and I go to bed and I take a nice plot.
Right.
But now with this star thing, they're not giving me the star. I figured I got to speak up for myself. If I don't talk for myself, who's going to speak for me? There's advocates.
That's true. Yeah. If you were gay, maybe you'd have somebody out there pounding the pavement for you.
Hey, I don't swing that way, all right?
Oh, okay.
That was Tarzan's deal.
Oh, interesting.
He would hump anything with a pulse. He would take a boa constrictor in the hinder.
Really?
Anything for a thrill, that freak.
Who knew?
Freak. I'm glad he's dead.
Wow.
Oh, wow. That's bitter.
They're all dead, by the way. All of them.
Yeah.
Everyone you worked with
is dead.
Yeah, that's true.
Still alive, still kicking at 76, booby.
I didn't know chimpanzees lived to 76 years old.
They usually don't, but I do.
All right.
You know why?
No.
Exercise, always with the exercise.
Exercise, okay.
Okay.
That, and lots of martinis and cigars.
You drink?
And you stoop the young girls. That's what keeps you young.
Oh, really?
The young punani. Makes you something worth living for.
Okay.
No. I banged them all.
Okay. I bet you did.
When I was in Hollywood, there wasn't a girl that was safe.
Wait, a girl? Are you talking about a girl?
Yeah.
I thought you meant chimpanzees.
No, I did Lassie. I did that orangutan from Any Which Way But Loose.
Oh, no.
Courtney Love.
Come on.
I did all the animals.
But speaking of Lassie, Cheetah, I have to ask. It's not like they haven't given stars on the Walk of Fame to animal actors. Lassie has a star. Rin Tin Tin. Even freaking Godzilla has a star. What do you think the problem is? Why are they not giving you one?
And Godzilla, by the way, not a real animal. I don't know if you know
not
this
real.
Or not. No.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's some Asian dude in a suit. And if they give, frankly, if they give Asian stars, they'll give anybody a star. Come on, it's unforgivable. But I'm pumped. but I kid. I kid because I love. But seriously, I think it's time for the old chimp here. Look, I ain't got much longer. Right. 76 already. Everybody's surprised.
That is pretty old, of course.
So
yeah.
Let's do the right thing and give me a star and a little ceremony and, you know, send some more chicks to the back room and let me see what I can still get the old vine swinging. You know what I'm saying? See if I can still peel the old banana.
I'm afraid I do.
As Jane Goodall used to call it.
Right, sure.
I think we understand.
Wow, rare. Her in the jungle. Okay.
A rare Jane Goodall reference on the Kevin and Bean Show in 2008.
She has a lot to do with monkeys.
She does. I understand that.
She did a lot of research. Not a lot of famous monkey researchers.
It's true.
No, it's a pretty short list.
Is there someone else I should have named?
I was impressed with it. I just was surprised.
Dan Fossey. How about that? Stick that in your nose. You goddamn anti-Semitic son of a bitch.
What are you talking about?
Jesus, you don't want to give me a star because I'm a Jew.
What? No, that's you're not a Jew. You're a monkey.
Whatever,
you're not a Jew.
Monkey, you don't want to give a star because me because I'm a Jew.
You can't be a Jewish
ridiculous.
Chimpanzee.
I can't?
No.
Oh, what? Sammy Davis Jr. was the only one to convert?
Oh, come on, Gina.
I converted in 1957 before it was popular.
All right.
Don't tell me.
Well, Gina, I got to be honest. Before we called, I didn't care if you got a star. Now I'm right there behind you. I want to see it happen for you.
I liked you more before we spoke.
Yeah.
If you were here right now, I'd throw my poop at you.
That's usually the way it works.
That's the way it is with my kind.
Okay, Gina. Thank you very much.
The chimpanzees, not the Jews.
Right. We got that.
I love Ralph's Jewish.
Expensive that was.
A little bit.
Yeah. Chimpanzees are apes. They're not monkeys.
Oh, that's what's offensive about it.
Okay. That's definitely what you should do, the hill you should die on that clip.
Yeah, right. That's the one. That's where I should be.
When the Chimpanzee Defense League hears that, we're going to be in big trouble, guys.
Right?
Okay. Let's talk to Mike. This sounds like maybe the best call ever. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
What'd it do?
I'm sitting here. What'd it do, nephew? What'd it do, baby? I'm heading down the 210 right now, and I've seen some distractions on the freeway. But this lady topped it. She has like what it looks like a spider monkey running around her chest and up her head, and she's sitting here fighting to get it off and putting it down the stairs. She's swerving all over.
Wait a minute.
Oh, God.
You're saying you saw a lady driving a car with a spider monkey crawling all over her?
I think it's a spider monkey, but I know it's a monkey for sure, but she's just swerving down the road trying to fight this monkey off and put it down in the seat.
Does she need help?
I have no idea.
Maybe it wasn't a pet. Maybe it just jumped in her with her monkey.
This is it, the beginning of the end. Monkeys are
taking over.
We've been seeing this for a long time. The car's a rental and someone just left it in the back seat.
Wow, we are not safe anymore on the freeways.
Freaking
monkey
owners.
I hate them, man.
Monkey's going to get control of that car and then who knows what he's going to do with it.
It's a high-speed monkey chase.
That's right. Next thing you know, he's heading to the flea market in Santa Monica. He's going to start running out old people. I mean, there's no telling what he might do. That's fantastic.
So that's an actual call?
That was an actual caller. It was like the next day or the day after.
How did she get a monkey, and why did she choose to drive with it just loose?
Assuming it was a pet, maybe, or she worked at the zoo. I mean, potentially. I don't know. But have you guys ever known anybody that has an exotic animal?
No.
I haven't either. So, I mean, we had a chinchilla we would babysit a chinchilla when I was a kid. They're the worst pets ever. And then we would babysit like a boa constrictor and stuff. But that was really it.
All right. Let's move to the next clip.
Speaking of things that Gleason would like.
Yes.
The New York City Opera is working on an opera based on Brokeback Mountain. For its 2013 spring season, they're working it up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Apparently, see a lot of new operas.
No, you don't. But this will be great.
Yes, it will.
As you remember, it was, of course, adapted into a successful film in 2005. Word is, from the New York City Opera, if this experiment is successful, they also have plans to work the sequel, Brokeback Island, into an opera, believe it or not.
How dare you?
That's
why?
Exciting.
For those of you who didn't see Brokeback Island, it was a story of two radio personalities.
We don't have
deeply, deeply in gay love with each other.
Like and, three kills six.
We so gotta... here's a little recap from the trailer.
From director Ang Lee and the producers of Brokeback Mountain, comes yet another story of a love between two men that would not be denied.
I haven't had an erection in 11 years.
Hey, want to party on my
two radio DJs.
I suck so hard.
Discovering love within each other.
Oh, my, I'm trying to swallow.
One, fearing that their love would never be accepted.
He's just magic.
Moved to a faraway island. The other man.
Want a banana, you hot little monkey bitch?
Knowing his life would never be complete without his partner, dyed his blonde hair, put on his green pleather jacket, and moved to that island to join him.
Hey, blow me? Ooh, ooh!
Together, the two men will discover a love.
In your mouth!
That could not be weakened by time, distance, or a lack of talent.
It's getting hot in here. Hi, we're looking for Dick.
Ang Lee presents Brokeback Island.
There. I am a whore.
There's your opera. There's your opera right there.
Dude, that was painful.
That's your freaking opera.
Good pull. I've always loved that little spoof that Ralph did.
And that's the clips that need no introduction.
Nailed it.
Ow!
We get it. We want her to promote your podcast. We got it.
Say hello to happy goodbye to the blue Janky
podcast.
Shlemiel, Shlemazel, Haas & Fever Incorporated. Blah, 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 blah. We're gonna do it. If it's any chance, we'll take it. We just any rule, we'll break it. We're gonna make our dreams come true. Doing it our way.
Let's start off with the Ralph report. There was a discussion whether it's Papacy or PayPal, and I thought that was just hilarious.
1378, the Cardinals declared Pope Urbanus VI to be lawless.
Ooh, lawless
they
Pope.
They booted him out of the papacy.
Papacy?
Papacy.
Is it papacy?
Papacy.
Okay.
Do you think it was papacy?
Wasn't it papel? Papel? How do you say it?
Papal.
Papal?
Yes.
Did you say papal?
Oh. Everyone does.
I'm not Catholic. I don't fucking know. It's all made up shit anyway.
It's not made up.
Papacy, PayPal, whatever.
PayPal.
It's basically PayPal. That's what a church is. It's fucking sending money.
Send them money?
You don't pay taxes.
It's the papal. The papal conclave.
Papal, papal.
The papacy.
Okay. Papacy. It sounds weird.
Well, sorry.
You don't think it sounds weird?
Doesn't to me, because that's how the word's pronounced. So it sounds like I'm pronouncing
it's all
it
weird.
Correctly.
Weird hats and everything.
The hats are least of the problems of the Catholic Church.
No, I know, but that's a red flag right there.
So yeah, I love Eddie's take on religion. Always going after the Catholic Church. Next on the Ralph Report, everything was coming up buckshot. First off on the Crowdcast, Queen Jay, she did an impersonation of Ed Wynn with Ralph as they were simulating being in bed. As Queen Jay asked, what character would you want your spouse to play in bed? So let's hear a little of that one.
It is hard to keep up Ed Wynn for like 60 minutes if you just keep going, right?
Yes.
I don't want to lie. It's so hot.
Oh my goodness. You're so sexy. Just leave on the bra and panties, don't you know?
Hotter.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
I thought I loved Queen Jay before. That's amazing. A girl that can do an Ed Wynn impression.
And then Edwin had the happy hit for Wednesday.
Hi, Ralph. Edwin from La Mirada here. I have a request for your happy hit. I would say Strip by Adam Ant.
Mm.
Remember when that came out? Oh, it was so naughty. It's talking about stripping.
Yeah.
And in the middle, there's a spoken word part. A woman with a great English accent. Oh. I know you love that.
Oh, you don't have to tell me.
That's my request. Love you, mean it. Bye.
Strip. Adam Ant. Or Adam and the Ants, I believe is the official name of the band. But this song, when it came out, we're like, oh, that's so sexy.
I don't know what happened, but for some reason, I guess about a month ago, I bought Adam Ant's Greatest Hits. And I was just listening to it nonstop. And I'm like, this is a happy hit. And I knew Ralph was a sucker for an accent on a girl, especially an English accent. So I'm like, hey, I think I got an in here. And I'm glad he chose it. Of course, he's like Janky Town. I made that call like 2 months ago. So when Christopher said, hey, you were on the Ralph Report, I'm like, for what? But anyway, yeah, it was a thrill.
All right. And then lastly, on Hello Death, they talked about Bugatti. And so they played the song.
1939, Gene Bugatti, Italian automobile designer, died. Bugatti, a big name in cars today.
Heard of that car.
I woke up in a new Bugatti. I woke up in a new Bugatti.
All right. Next on the Kevin and Sluggo show, they brought back animals coming out of the toilet. In Florida, they had a large iguana that stayed in someone's toilet for 3 days. They went through the whole story where they made the dad, and this was so relatable, they made the dad dress up in like a little suit to try and get him, like some kind of made-up suit where he had gloves, and he wrestled with him and just got his tail. But we find out that it's one of Kevin's big fears is to have an animal coming out of the toilet, which I thought was very weird. It kind of comes around in a Kevin sort of way where he...
Iguana toilet removal.
I'm telling you that that is going to happen to me.
That's Homer Simpson's new job.
Would it be funny if it happened to me?
Dude, I almost think at this point...
I think it would be hilarious, actually. It really would be.
I have to hate you to wish that upon you. I just can't. I would usually say it because it's funny on the radio. I can't even.
I sort of want it to happen because.
There, we heard it. We heard it.
Because I feel like it's. I feel like it's bound. Like that's my future.
Right. Get it over with.
And I'm watching it in every one of these stories, and it's gonna happen to me.
Do it now. Yeah, not when you're 92.
Right.
Get it over now when you're 87.
Just let me go to Hollywood, Florida, sit on this guy's toilet, and let's finish it.
I don't think that happens frequently enough to where it's just bound to happen.
That's not a worry of mine.
I mean, for something to make the news, though, somebody would have to call in to get the attention or something like that, send it to the news desk. But have you guys ever had something come through the toilet?
No.
No? My mom did. She had a snake evidently came through the toilet in her guest bathroom. Upstairs, and it came through the toilet somehow, and it was in the bathroom, stuck in there. And then she finally, I don't know, went in there, started banging stuff to get rid of, like a snake's gonna care, right? And then it made it from the bathroom, went right around the corner, right into the bedroom, and was there for weeks. And then she finally discovered it. She had to call. Listen, we grew up with gardener snakes and gopher snakes, so like we're not like anti-snake people. But oh my gosh, she was so freaked out. She had to call like a snake charmer guy to come and get it in a bucket. Like, but it was there for like 6 weeks, which means it didn't eat for 6 weeks. It didn't drink, which they don't need that much water. But so it was this really long and skinny. She said it was probably about 6-7 feet when they got it out.
Wow, 6-7 feet?
Yeah.
As you guys know, I clean pools. So one time I went to this pool, I take the skin basket out, I go back. There's a rattlesnake in the skimmer. So I don't know how I missed it. And so I'm freaking out. I'm like, what am I going to do here? Then the rattlesnake gets sucked down the pump. I'm like, well, that took care of that problem. So I go to the pump, and it's got a clear lid. And so I can see the snake, like, whirling around like a washing machine. I'm like, okay, well, I think I'll just pop the lid. I'll use my net to throw him out. I pop the lid, and he goes back down, like, through the pipe. And I'm like, I turn it back. He comes back. So I finally got him. I threw him, and he crawled under the heater. I'm like, well, okay, I'm going to tell the owner. There's a rattlesnake under the heater. So the capper is later on, a friend of mine calls. I didn't know he was going to that house to work on that heater. He calls me, oh my God, Ed, I went to work on that heater. There's a rattlesnake under it.
Oh no.
So he killed it.
So, very bizarre. Damn, you're like Crocodile Hunter. All right, moving on to cup of tea in a chat. So Allie was on Never Not Funny. It's a great podcast, but it's long. It's like a marathon, it feels like. It was 2 hours and 40 minutes. Jimmy had an interesting take on what they should do for their show, especially on the call segment.
I guess I don't like the phone calls.
Which is the part that you listen to.
Yeah, I fast forward to them because it's very important that I hear what your listeners think.
Okay.
Give a shit what they think.
Wow.
Give a fuck what your listeners have
to
offer.
I care.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
About every last one of you that pays to listen.
No, I don't have. I've got one major note, but okay. I'll text Beanan. I think that's the best way to handle that.
It's totally about me.
It's one major note, and I think you got to fire Bean, and I think I'm going to text him to tell him so.
Wow.
Shake Bean loose.
So Jimmy Pardo doesn't like the teabaggers. Call-in segments are a waste of his time.
I thought that was the best brand in showbiz, right? Isn't that Jimmy
Yeah.
Pardo? Maybe not. Maybe it's a one-way street with those guys.
All right, moving on. Robbie pulled a beer mug. He goes MIA for 2 weeks. Okay, moving on. Robbie pulls a beer mug. He went MIA for 2 weeks. Bean wasn't able to get a hold of him. Bean was kind of worried that he was, because he was supposed to host Friday's show. So there hasn't been an intro from Robbie in about 2 weeks. And so Bean had this message for him on the podcast.
Fuck you, Robbie. Now that I've thought about it, fuck you, Robbie. Wait, hold on. I may be confused. I may have too many thoughts going on in my little head right now.
So, yeah, if Bean seems a little irritable and out of character, it's because Bean was on drugs. This is the famous Bean on Speed episode. Apparently, Donna gave him a Vyvanse before Wednesday's episode, and the healthiest man in the world just saw a pill and took it. And, yeah, so the whole episode, he was just talking really fast. The episode was moving quickly, and his voice was getting higher and higher and higher each segment. Then he'd take a breath and go back down and then just keep going higher and higher. It was an episode for the ages.
Someone called in and said it was coked up Bean. I wish I would have thought of that line.
And then Allie goes with his pace. So the whole show is just tumbling down a mountain really fast.
You seem delightful. Oh, I'm not going to lie. I love you on this.
I love you. I love everybody right now. I love the world, Allie. I wanna hug the globe right now. That's how I feel. I'm the fucking United Nations right now. I don't swear. That's not me. What happened there? I apologize for that. I'm sorry, kids.
You are so off your ass right
now. I'm sorry, kids.
Well, and the thing is, Lindsay, your episode is my absolute favorite, FYI. But what I liked about it, it started to pick up and go a little bit fast. They tend to drone on some subjects a little bit too long at times. So it was just moving right along. I'm like, yeah, you just keep going. I loved it.
Yeah, I think we got like three times the information you would get in a normal podcast that day. Because Bean was just, he was on fire.
Yeah, I had to check my playback speed at certain points. I was like, did I fuck up and play with a double time or something? It's Allie seemed to be getting a contact high from it, because listen to this part when they're introducing the game.
Bean is heavily on drugs right now, so congratulations. You are jumping into the greatest of all cup of beans in a chat.
Yep.
Cup of beans?
Sure, why not?
Not only she was speeding up, she was kind of messing up too. It was just an episode just moving.
Okay, now before we forget this, I want to hear, I wish they still did instant requests, because I want to hear Coked Up Bean talk to Scissor Up Bean. That would be epic.
Make it happen.
Well,
we can do that.
I prefer Scissor Bean because you get the quirkiness, but without all the anxiety.
Yeah, he's a little bit more mellow. What if he took some Scissor Up after he took that Vivarin or whatever it was? Can he even himself out?
I don't know. And he has health problems going on right now. I don't know why he got a Vyvanse. But in the Friday's episode, he started to apologize for it. And let's hear how heartfelt that came off.
I had to swear it's not necessary, but I felt bad about that, because what about the children, Allie? What about the children?
In the words of the late great Michael Jordan, fuck them kids.
So then what would be the appropriate age to allow children to listen to Kevin and Bean or these other podcasts?
32.
My nephew's 8. I know he's too young. Lindsay, you listened in high school. When did you start?
15.
Okay. Lindsay turned out good. I'm good with 15.
Okay. Lindsay had bad parents. Okay.
No, she did not.
Wow. My parents didn't ride with me in high school, but okay.
Kevin Bean would always say, if you let your kids listen to our show, you're bad parents. No, I guess late teens should be acceptable. That's when you're starting to be rebellious and hear those chuckleheads, and it's funny.
Yeah, I guess high school is a good age. But
I think so.
Junior high, kind of, maybe.
Well, I started in junior high. And so I wouldn't recommend it.
I feel like a lot of the jokes went over my head as a high schooler, but, you know, there's only so many inappropriate things that they said.
I feel like I got too many of them and felt like there was something wrong with me.
Well, my little sister made me listen to Kevin and Bean when she worked with me. That's how I got involved with Kevin and Bean. And guys, she was like 13 or 14. So half the time, like, they used to do a segment called What's in Doc's Butt. And so here I'm with my little sister. I'm like, oh, sorry, Kristen, we're changing that one. So I think half of the time I was changing the station.
Moving on to Jankytown, the guys went strong with all the extra Patreon content. They had a Janky Plus intro.
And for this Jankytown episode, wait, what? For this Jankytown
Plus. Jankytown
Plus.
Exclusive. How else, off to a great start.
How else would this start, right? For our first Janky Town Plus episode.
Fucking janky.
We're going to start like this.
By the way, can we apologize?
Okay,
we're going to have to apologize to the Patreon already.
Oh my God, this is...
What?
I want to apologize to the Patreons already.
Let's all talk.
Yeah, everyone talk at once.
What? You were going to say something. Come on.
I was.
Go ahead.
So you know, everyone's signing up. Thank you for signing up for this tier of Janky. It's the 15 stations or the You Got a Flat in Your Head tier. You're getting these bonus episodes. No, I think everybody gets this except the $3 ones.
Yeah.
So, but everyone who like, we had nothing ready for them. We launched too early, and I was truly upset
way
at myself.
Way too early.
Hey,
I was truly upset at myself. We recorded a video. We did everything after the fact.
Yeah.
But there was, like a lot of people already signed up.
Yeah, so it went on kind of like that for quite a while on that Bad News Extra Content episode. They also tried the Gansitos on Janky Town Tries Things, so that was pretty funny. They released it for everybody on Patreon as kind of like a Costco sample to show the extra content you'll get. Moving on the episode 52, they did talk about the mask debate. Basically, there was a restaurant in Huntington Beach. They are making it mandatory that you don't wear a mask and don't have a vaccine.
So the owner's name is Tony Roman, right? And he was on Chris Cuomo's show.
Oh, I love
show.
His ribs.
No. That's Tony Roma's Roma. And they're out of business.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. Damn. There's no more Tony Romo.
I loved when he was on the Cowboys.
No. That's Tony Romo. That's Tony Romo.
Oh,
No.
Shit.
No. This is Tony Roman, okay?
Okay. Damn.
Okay. So he was...
They had a good empire.
So a different thing.
And they played the interview, and it was hilarious because Chris Cuomo just kind of served him. But then not only does Janky Town bring you vital social issues and stuff, but they give you a course of action. This is how they recommend taking on this restaurant.
Let's go there.
Well, I mean, we should go, dude. I'm telling you, let's go.
I'm going to show up in a fucking moon suit.
No. Here, I got it. Mugs. You go and you eat, right? And then you go, I'm vaccinated, bitch. What's up? I'm not paying for it.
That's funny.
I'm not paying for it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Showing you how to take a course of action on fighting back against anti-vaxxers and anti-maskers. Anyhow.
But wait, no. How do you prove you're not vaccinated? How do you prove you are unvaccinated?
Oh, you got to go back and listen to the episode because I would play a long clip, but the guy just sounds batshit crazy.
Okay. I listened to it, but I'll listen to it again.
Chris Cuomo says, you don't make any sense. I don't understand what you're trying to say. And the guy tried to get Chris Cuomo by saying, oh, you tell me your vaccination status and what's your family got?
Right. He's like, yes. I got, yes.
Yeah. So that was the podcast roundup.
Press the button.
Edwin.
Send me back into time.
One, two, three.
It's a new day.
Don't begin at the beginning.
Our feature presentation.
Meet the Walls 2012.
Okay, we're doing the week that was 2010. Bean was on a roll. He was really playing Dr. Doom. I think these clips are both on the same day. So let's just start off. He's listening to how happy he is about a Death Corner story, which was really gross, even for Bean.
Now, I don't know the timeline. I don't know if he had sex with her at the side of the road, or if he had sex with her in the truck, or if he had sex with her at some other location and then killed her.
We don't know if she was dead or not when he did that.
No, he did. He said she was already dead when he did.
Wow.
I know. It just gets better and better, right?
Now
you see why I love death so much.
What the hell?
Wait. So his last name is Howell, and it's in Thurston County?
Yes, that's an excellent point, Gilligan. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Get out of a man having sex with a dead woman.
What are chances?
He's looking past all that nasty sex with a corpse thing, and look at how crazy it is. Gilligan's Island diet.
Okay, so this was a terrible story about a man who either killed someone and had sex with the corpse, or found a corpse and had sex with it. But Bean was just, he was like a pig in slop. So a little bit later, Dr. Drew comes on, and Bean, he seems to revel in suicide questions, and he's kind of bumming everybody out.
Fantasia, not an addict, not a pill user, but
but very depressed.
Any follow-up,
what happens
any
to
follow-up
you if you
questions
take...
on the most depressing question ever asked, Bean?
No, I'm curious about this, though. But what right. happens to you if you take a bottle of aspirin?
Yeah, sometimes you need kidney dialysis. It can be quite serious. You can be, but it doesn't. It's a hard thing to kill yourself with as compared to, say, you got to know what's called acidosis. But as compared with acetaminophen, Tylenol can kill you with like 11 pills, and your liver shuts down 3 days later, and there's nothing you can do about it.
You should tell us more about people who've succeeded killing themselves.
Hey, I would like to say that that was a fascinating response, and I have never heard that addressed anywhere, and I'm shocked by how easy it is to kill yourself with
Tylenol. I'm saying you're a bummer. That's what I'm saying.
Dr. Drew, any happy news you want to leave us with?
The lighter side of addiction?
Lisa May, Kevin.
Yes.
Yes.
How do you guys broadcast with this guy right now?
Dude, listen, it's rough.
Kevin shuts him down.
It gets worse and worse, and then it gets to be Thursday and Friday, and if we didn't have the weekend, we would kill him.
It's okay. Dreamy Dr. Drew is going to take care of that.
All right. We're going to put him in treatment. Please.
All right. Let me ask you one more question.
No, you don't get another one.
No, this is an uproar. I'm going to go out on a high note here.
Tell me about death.
So Bean's bumming everybody out this week.
Did Drew say dreamy Dr. Drew?
Yeah.
That was a callback. Earlier in the interview, someone else said that. So he was just ripping off of that. He wasn't calling himself Drew. Even though we all know he is. Celebrity birthday that week, it was Hulk Hogan. Now we know this is one of Bean's, I think this is Bean's only impression. So what I did, I took every clip. Ralph tried to get him to say or do the Hulk Hogan impression on every Showbiz beat. So let's just kind of go. I just clipped them all. Let's hear how Bean's enthusiasm just kind of wanes as the day goes on.
Hulk Hogan is 57 years old today. The Hulkster. Hulk, what do you have to say on your birthday, Hulk?
Happy birthday to me, brother.
Those improv classes are paying off, aren't they?
At least he did it. At least he came with it.
Hulkster, what are your plans to celebrate the birthday?
Having sex with my 19-year-old girlfriend, brother.
All right,
he was ready for that. Yeah,
that was pretty good.
Yeah. Right.
Hulk, what are your plans to celebrate your birthday today?
You guys be cool and eat fruit.
Coward.
Sell out.
You're a coward. You are a coward of mythic proportions.
You're a chicken.
You are a weenie.
I thought you guys would enjoy the real Hulkster this hour.
It's the only impression Bean does.
Yeah, you do one voice. We ask once a year, we ask you to do a voice. Hulkster, what are you going to do for your birthday? How are you going to celebrate?
I'm going to kill my ex-wife, Linda, and bury her in a shallow grave, brother.
Hulkster, what are you going to do to celebrate this year?
Let me tell you something, brother. This is Bean, and you can call me Beanamania. You can call me Ambean. You can call me Taco Bean. You can call me Jelly Bean. But the one thing you got to know is that Beanamania is going to run wild on you, brother. So what's he going to do when Beanamania destroys you?
That's Hulk doing his Bean impression.
I know. How random is that?
That's odd.
So every year on that day, they expect Bean to do his Hulk Hogan impression. So he did three or four, and then he kind of chickened out, started playing clips. Now, we were talking about this today, guys. I was trying to find the origin of the This Is Hulk Hogan, by the way, drop.
Yeah.
I thought it was a game show where they had to impersonate wrestlers?
Oh, I think you're right. Yeah, but that became a catchphrase for years. This is Hulk Hogan, by the way. They still use that sometimes on Cup of Tea. So once a year, Bean breaks out his Hulk Hogan impression. By the way, do you guys remember what Kevin's? He has two famous impressions.
The Queen.
Right?
Alf.
Right.
No problem.
So he has double the impressions of Kevin there. Oh, no, Kevin has double the impressions of Bean. Now, a very funny thing happened this week. They had Kevin and Bean night at Dodger Stadium over the weekend. So when they came back, Kevin was recapping his first pitch, which did not go well.
Oh, what a time we had Saturday night out at Dodger Stadium. Thanks to all the fans, by the way. Had a great section there watching the Dodgers, who eventually, by the way, Kevin, I know you left a little early, eventually ended up beating the Nationals in 10 innings. So it's a very exciting game.
That's what worries me is now I have to throw out the first pitch before every home game, right?
Right, exactly. Superstition.
Or you have to leave early.
Kevin was asked to return because, last time he threw out the first pitch, it kind of bounced. So he had another opportunity to make good. And I got to give Kevin all the credit in the world for coming up with a plan for his first pitch, unlike anyone in the history of baseball. What were you going to do, Kevin? What was the goal when you stepped out there on the mound at Dodger Stadium?
We don't have the video up yet, but we will soon. My goal was to throw a knuckleball.
So Kevin's plan, when he failed the first time he threw a pitch at Dodger Stadium, was to try the hardest pitch, which is a knuckleball. And let's see how that went.
And I had the ball in my hand in the knuckleball position.
Right.
And I stepped on my front foot.
Yes.
And that's when everything went dark because my front foot went right out from underneath me. Slipped. I mean, literally hit the dirt, which was really, really, really slick.
Uh-huh.
And I just face planted. Like you see how Jackass. On. I'm not kidding. Like you see how Jackass. Face planted. Just boom! And I was like looking around. I was dazed. I didn't know if I was
You're bleeding.
Where am I? What happened? And I remember throwing, and I did have the knuckleball in my hand, and I did throw that form, but I believe it bounced, I don't know, halfway to the plate.
About like, halfway, yeah.
Like way further, closer to me than last time.
Right.
So once again, Kevin has an epic fail trying to throw the first pitch out.
Didn't someone pitch right after him, and they made fun of him because this person was like a kid or something? And they made it
I believe to the it was the guy with no arms, and then Kevin wrote an article titled "F you, guy with no arms."
Yeah, I didn't keep the clip, but that day when Kevin was throwing his first pitch, they had a bunch of guys who had been injured, a bunch of American servicemen. So some of these guys were there; they had prosthetic legs and arms, and they were doing fine. And Kevin falls right in his face, so he was really kind of embarrassed by that. Now, a weird thing that happened is they were talking about the first pitch. For some reason, Kevin got on this tangent about Michael Clark Duncan. And he said Michael Clark Duncan throws like a girl. And he wouldn't back off of it. They're like, come on, Kevin, this is a big guy. You know, you're putting your life in danger. So by the end of the week, someone had set up a Michael Clark Duncan versus Kevin Facebook page.
I want to thank whoever it was who started the Facebook page, Kevin Ryder versus Michael Clark Duncan. If you're on Facebook, you can go to just type in Kevin Ryder and then versus Michael Clark Duncan in the search box, and it will show you the page. Eight people so far like that page. Okay. It's starting to a groundswell. Here's the description of the page. On August 10, 2010, Kevin decided to say hard and ghastly things about Michael Clark Duncan.
All I said was he threw like a girl.
Clearly, these were intense fighting words, but now Kevin is trying to back out while continuing to say horrible things. A fight must happen between these two. Justice will be served. I agree with you, sir, and I appreciate you starting that page.
Rob,
make
that nine people like it. Now.
Nine people? Nine. All right. Psycho Mike just
it's on fire.
Signed up as well.
Yeah, so they actually, Ralph kept following that during the day. On the last Showbiz beat of that day, he updated it. It was like in the hundreds. So I think that thing became a runner, and I believe Michael Clark Duncan eventually did come on the show to confront Kevin. So Kevin Smith came on the show, and he was talking about setting up the Smod Castle. That's how this first started.
It's just this kind of functional playland space where you can just go and try stuff. Just that me and Ralph are going to do.
Yeah.
What are we going
to
call it?
I don't know. We have to talk to our lawyers and see what we can
figure out what we can. But essentially, a variation.
It's going to be the showbiz beat. Basically, with me and Smith, but talking about show business.
And we'll do like an hour.
Showbiz, though. It's going to be sci-fi.
No, no. It's going to be sci-fi. All aspects of show business.
Right. Yeah, it'll be everything. Just the stuff that won't get us laid. Stuff that may indeed get us laid one day if we talk about it.
May lean a little heavy to comic books and science fiction. That
yeah,
kind of
totally.
Stuff. But we'll cover it
but
all.
But it's just, and I mean, you know, you guys work every day, so of course you don't want to come out at night, but you guys are more than welcome. Anything you want to come and do.
No, but let me ask you this.
Dude, believe me, I was telling people one day, 2 months from now, we're getting Bean to come up. He's going to dress in his dopey, furry outfit from Where the Wild Things Are and just stand there on stage and whatnot. That's what we have to do. I can sell to him.
We can make totally. That happen.
So this was the beginning of Hollywood Babylon, which is still going on to this day. So they kind of liked it because, you know, Bean, he's always interrupting stuff. And they said, hey, when we do our show, you're not going to interrupt us.
I hate to do this, but we have 1 minute.
All right. Well, then screw you.
I'm just saying. I hate to do it, but that's
you know what's not going to happen on our podcast when we're doing showbiz news?
No, but
you're not going to be able to tell us to stop.
Nobody will ever stop us.
No,
we'll do the showbiz beat for 5 hours straight.
It'll be like a dance marathon. People will be tapping us out.
We're doing news from the 70s. We're like, well, it looks like they're making Convoy. People are like, no, newspaper.
Smash Singles, not going to be a big budget motion picture. C.W. McCall couldn't be more happy.
Oh, that should be the show, dude. Old showbiz beat, where we just do old news from, like, talk about hopeful projects. Howard the Duck, they're finally doing it. It's going to be huge.
George Lucas can do no wrong.
So I myself just noticed that what we're doing now is what they were talking about, doing old showbiz beats. So I think we owe royalties to Kevin Smith and Ralph Garman, guys.
Cash not included.
Cash not included. Yeah.
That's how it started. I jumped ahead a little bit, and the next week, Ralph started advertising the first Hollywood Babylon. And that also became one of my favorite running jokes. They would always invite Bean to come on, and they always would say no. So he started that from the very first moment they ever announced Hollywood Babylon. So anyway, that's the week that was 2010.
And this is from June 3rd, 2011.
We got weenie roast tickets for you with a game we like to call Slow Mo Weenie.
Hey, what's happening, party people? It's time to play Slow Mo Weenie, where we take music from the past where we was. Oh, shit. I'm not the trash.
Fast. All right, we had a lot of fun earlier in the week with a game called Speedy Weenie, where we took songs that are going to be played at the Weenie Roast this weekend, and we sped them way up. And then all you had to do is identify what the song is. We gave you the band, you just had to tell us what song they were. So we thought, hey, let's go the other way, and let's go with Slow-Mo Weenie, where we slow the songs down. So let's say hello to Mr. Slow-Mo Announcer Man. Hi there.
Good morning.
Right, we got it.
Good morning.
Kevin and Bean. All right, okay, we got you.
And Bean, it's time to play the game.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Slow-Mo Announcement. Okay, that's fine. Let's move on and let's meet contestant number one. This is going
to
be... We'll actually handle that.
We don't have time for you to come up with the name, so I'm sorry.
Steven, we got that. Steven, so we're going to tell you that it's a Bad Religion song, but it's we took care of it. Bad Religion is who it is. It's way slowed down, though. You listen, we can only play it one. We can only play it one time for you, but you tell us what Bad Religion song it is. You ready to hear it?
Yeah.
There you go.
All right, good luck.
Christopher, do you know what it is?
Is it Los Angeles is Burning?
Nope.
What the hell was that?
Well, actually, that's what we're asking you.
A song by Bad Religion that was slowed down.
By Bad.
Right. and the name of it, we got already got that out.
Mr. Slow-Mo Announcer, we have that. Just tell us the name of the song, Steven, and you're in the drawing for tickets.
I'm going to take a shot in the dark. Sorrow? Mm-hmm.
Yes!
Nice.
How did he do that?
I did not know.
All right. Mr. Answer Man, we took care of that. We got that.
How did he do that? We already asked
that. Let's move on to the second. Let's move on to the second call, if you don't mind. All right. Al, good morning. I said his name already.
Al, your song is going to be by Cage the Elephant. They're playing the Weirdest. Okay, we said that already, Mr. Slow-Mo Announcer Man. Listen up. Here's the song. You tell us what it's called.
All right.
How about Jen?
That would be Ain't No Rest for the Wicked. Money doesn't grow on trees.
Yeah? That song.
I got bills to pay. Ain't No Rest for the Wicked.
There ain't no rest for... Nice.
They already told him he was right.
We have a D. All right.
Scott.
He got it right. Two for two. Let's try Scott, right. Line three. Scott, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ready to play Slow-Mo Weenie? Mr.
Slow-Mo announcer, man. We got this. All right.
Okay.
Scott, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, here's your song. It is from Linkin Park. It's from Linkin Park. Tell us what this song is. Ooh, that's a low note.
Everything slowed down sounds like a Nine Inch Nails song at regular speed. You ever notice that?
It does sound creepy.
All right, Scott.
Edwin?
I don't know. Shut up when I'm talking to you.
Scott.
Paper cut? God.
Paper cut? God.
No.
No, that was... Waiting for the end to come. Waiting for the end to come.
Yeah, what song is that for Linkin Park?
Waiting for the end, the literal lyrics of the song. All right. Keep it going. Sorry.
Yeah. All right. Jose, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Slow-mo announcer, man. I believe we've got it taken care of.
You ready to play slow-mo?
It's time to play.
Right. Time to play. You have a song by Rise Against. All you have to do is tell us what song it is, and you'll be in the drawing. Okay.
All right, Mr. Slow-mo announcer. Thank you. All right. Here's the Rise Against song. You tell us the name of it. What song is that?
Back to Christopher.
Ready to Fall?
No.
Don't hold me. That's the one.
Prayer of the Refugee is what we're looking for. All right, we have time. Maybe for one more.
Mr. Slow-Mo Announcer, please. I'm begging you.
Matt is going to be our next contestant.
We already said his name.
Matt, he's ready. I swear to God, Mr. Dawson, I'm going to beat you slowly if you don't stop it. Matt, you ready?
Slowly. All right. How I like it.
It's going to be from the Strokes. Tell us the name of the song. Good luck.
I can hear it on my head, dun, 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 but I don't know the title of it, even if I know the song. So.
Come on, Drew.
How about Last Night?
Oh, he's going to do it slow. How about that?
That's correct. All right. Very well done. We've got Steven, we've got Al, we've got Matt, and that was Brian right there. All four in the running to win tickets in the pit for the Weenie Roast. Lisa, who's our Slow-Mo Weenie winner?
The winner is Steven.
Steven, yeah! The first person we talked to.
Steven!
Tell him what he's won. Mr. Slow-Mo Announcer, tell him what he's won.
You just won tickets in
the pit. In the pit for tomorrow's Weenie Roast. Thanks for playing.
Oh, yeah.
For the Weenie Roast tomorrow. All right, we're not going to have time for this. We got to go.
No, he's doing it.
Steven's doing it. All right. Okay. Okay.
I woke up in a new Bugatti. This is another episode of Quitters Never Give Up. All right. Thanks, everybody. Until next time.
Peace out.
Bye.